Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA News, I'm Lance Pry. President Biden is in Hiroshima, Japan this morning, preparing for the G7 summit that starts tomorrow. This morning, he's meeting with Prime Minister Fumio Kishida. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan on Air Force One reveals some of the topics that will be discussed with the Prime Minister.
Common concerns and issues associated with the policies and practices of the People's Republic of China will come up, and I think you will see coming out of this summit alignment and convergence around the fundamental principles of our approach to the People's Republic of China.
As the possible national debt default looms in America, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy speaks to the media.
Mr. President, stop hiding. Stop traveling somewhere else. America wants an American president focused on American problems, finding American solutions.
The president before heading out to Japan.
I'm confident that we'll get the agreement on the budget that America will not default. And every leader in the room understands the consequences if we fail to pay our bills. And it would be catastrophic for the American economy and the American people if we didn't pay our bills.
Russia shot 30 cruise missiles against different parts of Ukraine early this morning in the latest nighttime test of Ukrainian air defenses. Ukraine officials said 29 of the missiles were shot down. One person died and two were wounded by the Russian cruise missile that did get through. It struck an industrial building in the southern region of Odessa. Florida Representative Anna Luna filed a resolution last night to expel Democrat Representative Adam Schiff from Congress, alleging that he pushed a false narrative to the American people in the Trump-Russia investigation. Luna claims Adam Schiff lied to the American people when he claimed to have evidence on the Trump-Russia collusion hoax. After a four-year investigation, it revealed no evidence exists. USA News.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is a process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
America could be in for some power problems this summer.
The North American Electric Reliability Corporation released a report that says the vast majority of the U.S. power grid may face elevated power outage risks this summer during bad weather. The report went on to say there is an increased risk due to the greater reliance on renewable energy resources. The report's authors, however, stress this is not a prediction, and if the weather is fine, the power grid will be too. I'm John Schaefer.
Montana Governor Greg Gianforte signed into law yesterday a bill that completely bans TikTok in the state, making it the most stringent measure in the country. The app is accused of gathering data of Americans for the Chinese government. The law, which is set to take effect in January, will impose a $10,000 fine on any entity that permits downloading of the app. Pro-gun advocates are celebrating a victory in New Jersey after a new law that limits carrying concealed weapons was struck down in court.
A federal judge ruled it is legal for someone to take a concealed carry handgun with the proper permits to the beach, bars, restaurants, and public parks. Judge Renee Marie Baum ruled that significant parts of what Governor Murphy signed into law in December were unconstitutional. Attorney General Matthew Platkin condemned the ruling and says he plans to appeal the judge's decision. I'm Skip Kelly.
Today is Ascension Day. This is a Christian holiday that's also a public holiday in many countries. Lance Pry, USA News.
Good news. Not all communication is being canceled, especially for the case of a Tennessee woman who was recently kidnapped by her ex-boyfriend. This is Bill Martinez, Man of God, nationally syndicated radio host, former Marine, and award-winning marketing professional. The victim was able to communicate to a clerk with a simple hand gesture that she needed help. The savvy clerk understood the hand gesture and called police, who were able to rescue the woman. It reminds us just how important communication is to our human culture. It connects us with family, friends, even would-be heroes. Sometimes we never know the difference even a smile can make for someone who may be losing hope for human connection. A word of encouragement, a touch, something that costs so little can be so priceless. Let's make today the day that we look for an opportunity to encourage and lift a fellow sojourner in this life that we're navigating. You never know, you may find yourself at the right place and time to be the difference for a fellow man or woman.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here. Great to have you with us, sharing a part of your day. For more info on the show, check it out. BillMartinezShow.com. That's where you want to go. Hey, George Barna is with us, the professor at Arizona Christian University and the president of the Cultural Research Center at ACU, here to talk about which generation's faith was most altered by the pandemic and how. Hey, George, how are we doing?
Doing well. Good to be with you, Bill.
Before we get into the topic, this is a topic that lingered, that really got the attention and gained some resonance with our audience. And you and I talked about the institution of the church. I was the one that brought that up, and I think it was a misuse of words. And you had expressed some great advisement on this, and that what an institution delivers, and it wasn't what Jesus had given us when he had directed the apostles to implement the church.
Yeah, I mean, we've got to remember why he instituted what we call the church. Now, of course, we have different definitions of church, but when he was talking about it, he was talking about the body of believers, not an institution. And as he talked about that, his advice to us, his admonition to us, his command to us was to go and make disciples. And so that's what the church is supposed to be about. And he gave us six different times in the scriptures when people were sitting around him and he's teaching them, and he described what a disciple was. Mm-hmm. And so that's really what we need to go back to, not what we've made it to be, but what did Jesus intend us to be doing in order to fulfill the great commission that he gave to us, which was to make disciples. So it's about obeying his teachings. It's about loving each other. It's about bearing fruit, you know, producing spiritual fruit. It's about placing God number one in our lives. It's about surrendering, and it's about submitting. In Luke 14, three of those admonitions, in John 8, 13, and 15, the other three. And so if we simply go back to what he told us to do in terms of discipleship, we would have a church in America that looks completely different than it looks today, that would have a different heartbeat than it has today, and would be reaping different results than it's reaping today, because we're also told in the scriptures, Galatians 6, you reap what you sow. Right. Sadly, we're reaping what we sow in the church in America. We don't like it, so we've got to sow something different.
Yeah, without a doubt, because when we were talking, the thing that hit me was that, you're right, George, because it's not like Jesus said, hey, go out and go make a bunch of buildings.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like God needs a building, right? He doesn't need a temple. You know,
I mean,
like
he came to do away with that.
Right.
You know, I mean, they already had that. He could say, oh, this is great. Can you just get more people in it? That's our approach. You know, that was not his approach. I mean, his approach was, let's get fewer people in it, but those fewer people will be really sold out to what it's about. So that's the direction that we need to move. you know, what I found, and I may have brought this up in some previous conversation we've had, that when we've studied churches in America, we know that they measure five things: how many people show up, how many programs they offer, how many staff people they've hired for those programs, how much money they raise, how much square footage they built out. Jesus didn't die for any of those things.
Exactly.
You know, so let's commit ourselves to the thing that he died for, which is love, obedience, producing fruit, surrender, submission, and putting God before anything else.
I want to say it's about the idea of our faith as opposed to bricks and mortar. What was the idea? What was behind it? And Jesus was real clear, but the inclination of humanity, as we talked about last time, is to institutionalize things. And when we do, you get the Ten Commandments into the ten volumes, right?
Yeah, and I think each of us has to keep in mind that when you look at what Jesus did, he spent a lot of time trying to get them to believe the right things. Why? Because he knows, and now we know, that you do what you believe. So your beliefs produce your lifestyle. Your lifestyle is where the rubber meets the road. That's what demonstrates what you really believe, what you're really committed to, why you get out of bed in the morning. And so, yes, beliefs matter tremendously, but it's because they get converted into a way of living that demonstrates where our heart really is, what our mind is really latched onto. So we got to get the beliefs right, but then we got to prove that we've got it right by the way we live.
Exactly. And when you consider the church, we are the church. It's not about the buildings. It's not about the lead pastor. I mean, how many times does a lead pastor come under attack and we get church splits going on and all this other rambunctious behavior and fruit that's not of God? In a sense that what God had intended to be, it could be of God because God says, hey, look, maybe it's time to break things up like he did with the Tower of Babel and on and on. But we need to revisit, I believe, the Church of Acts and what the Acts Church was all about, George.
Well, yeah, you know, a few years back I'd written that book, Revolution. Mm-hmm. And the whole point of that was looking at what did Jesus tell us to do? I mean, I scoured the New Testament. There's no place in it where Jesus ever said, go to church. But time after time after time, he's exhorting us to be the church. And so that's why these beliefs matter and the way it translates to behavior matters. We are supposed to be the church, and through that, we influence the culture. That's that part of what he said a disciple does, which is to bear fruit. You know, we influence the culture. We're part of that transforming entity within the culture that he injects into the culture for the purpose of bringing every person to Christ, making them disciples. Each of us who claims that we love Jesus, each of us who embraces that label Christian, has to understand that all that means is that Jesus loves me more than I love him, but I'm going to do the best that I can to love him that much. And I'm going to demonstrate it in these particular ways. And when I'm successful at demonstrating that by being a disciple maker, that's what changes the world. Christ and his Holy Spirit working through me because I'm trying to be the church that he made me and called me to be.
Would we be better off? Just a question here. Every Sunday, Saturday, people go to church. They go inside a building and sit in the same place that they sit, hardly talk and interact, though we're cautioned, we're said, hey, do not forsake the gathering of one another. But it wasn't necessarily confined to a church. But yet what we do, we've just so limited what God had intended for the church. We're better off taking that hour of time and going out just one-on-one with somebody, discipling somebody.
Well, if you look at the book of Acts, which is the model that we were given for what the church is supposed to look like, that's the church book in the Bible.
Right.
Well, when you look at that, what you find out is that the church met all the time, but they were meeting in homes, they were meeting in restaurants, they were meeting out in the fields where they played games together, they were meeting when families got together to do things. That was the church at work. That was the church being the salt and the light in the culture in which they were placed to have a life-transforming influence. Why? Exactly. Because we know that one of the ways that you make disciples is that people watch what you do. Mm-hmm. And if it's compelling enough, they're going to want to do it too. Or they're going to ask you questions about it. And that's when we get to build or expand the church by bringing them into that circle of people that we get to love and disciple.
Well, George, can't thank you enough for talking and bringing this up, because I think this is really critical, especially where we are right now. Got to go to break. We've got more from George Barna after this. Stay with us.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Attention timeshare owners. Tired of the financial stress? Were you misled by the salesperson? Don't or can't use your timeshare anymore? If any of these apply to you, then you may qualify for timeshare cancellation and get the relief you need now. Timeshare Defense Attorneys is the number one affordable fixed fee legal solution in the country, with an A+ Better Business Bureau rating. That's certainly better than my grades. They even offer a 100% client satisfaction guarantee. Let one of their experienced lawyers evaluate your case and explain the process. If they take you as a client, they'll work on your case until it's resolved in your favor, guaranteed. Expect great service and a close working relationship with your lawyer, keeping you informed every step of the way, protecting your rights, interests, and even your credit. It's that simple. Even a kid like me can understand it. The consultation is free. Call today.
800-296-1332. 800-296-1332. That's 800-296-1332. If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your healthcare costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
Glad glad you could join us. Dr. George Barna continues with us. He's the professor at Arizona Christian University, president of the Cultural Research Center at ACU. And I just want to put a bow around that first segment here, if we could, George. You touched on some critical points, and that is, I think it's a call for the church to be what Jesus had intended the church to do. And really, for a time such as this, when you've got so much chaos and a lot of questions, and you've got Satan running amok, being as divisive as he can be, and all the lies that are flourishing, now more than ever, if we're going to combat this movement, the church, the body of Christ, as Jesus has intended, has got to step up, doesn't it?
In doing all this research about pre-pandemic, post-pandemic, one of the most frustrating things was looking at what local churches did during that three-year period of time. And what we find is that most of them embrace the philosophy of, I take my orders from the government. Now, as the followers of Christ, we're supposed to take our orders from God himself, which he committed to writing in the Bible so that we could thrive in life. And so I think we got it wrong during the pandemic. And, you know, I'm not here just to put down churches. They're run by people. People make mistakes. People sin. We're not perfect. That's why we need God and his guidance. But now let's look at the guidance. Let's realize what we did wrong. Let's learn the lesson. Let's grow. Let's do better now. And so now that we've got the opportunity to more easily influence people's lives, let's get it right. Let's do the right things. Let's not worry about how many people are coming, how much money we're raising, how many staff we've hired. Do we have the biggest real estate portfolio in the community? What we need to do is be looking at those lives and measuring them according to the criteria that Jesus gave us for what a disciple is, you know, exactly. The love, the obedience, etc. If we're moving people in that direction, hooray, hallelujah, amen, the church is alive and well. If we're doing anything else, shame on us, because it's our fault, nobody else's.
Well, this was a great opportunity, you know, COVID-19, in a sense, in so many ways. And you just touched on something that's so critical. And I pray that pastors, leaders of churches, and it doesn't matter, you can have a home church, it doesn't matter, you're a leader, that you draw some preference out of what we went through. Did we render to Caesar the things that were to go to Caesar and to God the things that were God? Was God glorified during this 2.5 years of this pandemic, or did we fail him? And what can we do next time so that we make sure that God is exalted?
Yeah, and I think that's a different way of saying God first, you know, which is the first thing that Jesus said in Luke 14 about, you cannot be my disciple unless you love me so much that in comparison, it's going to seem like you hate your brother, your sister, your spouse, your friends. Everybody else is secondary. I must come first. And I think that's the first lesson that we forgot during the pandemic, is that when we enter a crisis, oh my goodness, what a great time to lean on God and say, help me through this. What do I do? And not instead to turn to the government and the media and to take direction from them. Because, I mean, you know, if we want a definition of places that are going to get it wrong, that would be it.
Oh, yeah.
And,
exactly.
Yeah. And so instead, let's go to the place that, by definition, is going to get it right. That's God and his word.
Amen.
And so, yeah, now we have this opportunity to look back, and even though it's in retrospect, say, oh, my goodness, how silly we were, how stupid we were, but we can do better. We can do better, and God wants us to do better. Let's figure out what that means and start incorporating that into the way that we're thinking.
And George, to your point, I believe there's stories out there that we're not hearing. The media is not going to present them, but, you know, people need to speak up. Churches need to speak up, say, look, this is what we did, good, bad, wrong, or whatever, and this is what we learned. We need to have that conversation so that we can all learn from it, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I was blessed to belong to a church that never closed during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. We were sued by 2 different levels of government. There were pickets outside of our church. I mean, all kinds of stuff went on. But fortunately, we were led, key word there, led by a pastor who understood that, no, I take my guidance from God. And so we're going to continue to meet, to worship him, to praise him, to learn from him, to be able to be prepared to share during this time, of great opportunity in the community. And that's what we were getting there, was ideas about, okay, what does God tell us in the midst of a crisis? Let's look at the crises in the Bible, how people handle those, what lessons do we learn? You know, I mean, it was a great time of learning and instruction for us.
Exactly.
And, yeah, did our church suffer?
And faith building, too, George.
Yeah.
Because when you realize that God is faithful, what does that do?
And here's the irony of it. Okay, most churches measure attendance. So what do they do during the pandemic? They closed. During the pandemic, our church did not close. We went from 400 to 2,500. And that 2,500 is continuing to come now because they're seeing that we are led by a person who was called by God to lead God's people. He was trained and prepared to lead God's people in God's word. And so it's a congregation that's making a difference in our entire area now, because that man had the courage, the strength, the calling, and the conviction to say, yeah, I don't care what the government says. I'll listen to it. But if it conflicts with the guidance that God gives us, then those human beings are wrong. And I'm going to go with the divine one.
Amen. Your latest study, Which Generation's Faith Was Most Altered by the Pandemic and How? We got about 3 minutes left, so I'll let you bring us home on that.
Yeah, I mean, the essence of it was, again, what a great time for people to grow, to learn, to be transformed. Yet what we found was with the millennials, who are the least biblical of our four adult generations, they were indifferent to spirituality, to faith, as something that they could use to help them navigate the pandemic. Gen X, who's always been kind of waffling and struggling spiritually, they had the greatest spiritual turbulence of any of the generations and had a general shift away from trusting God during the pandemic. See, this is where the church needed to be to tell, no, this is the time we lean on God. We don't turn away from him because we've got a crisis. He can work through that crisis and help you rise above it. Boomers and elders, the two older generations, had a slight move toward more biblical ideas about how to live life. So this was a crisis. When do people change? In times of pain and suffering. What causes pain and suffering? A crisis. And so this was a tremendous time to see positive change happen. The organized church in America did not exploit that opportunity, and we lost essentially more ground with our two younger adult generations, who, by the way, are our parenting generations. And so, you know, we've got to learn. We've got to learn from our mistakes. And the fact that those two younger generations, all generations in America right now, but particularly those two younger generations, the two with the lowest incidence of biblical worldview, what happened? They moved more towards syncretism, which was basically, I'm going to embrace whatever beliefs and behaviors make me feel good, as opposed to what is truth as ordained by God.
Wow. And you think about that, George, how vulnerable the millennials and those that do not have a connection with God, because how else are you going to get through this?
Well, and one of the things we discovered is, so we look at this generation of millennials, 2% with a biblical worldview, didn't even turn to faith to help navigate the crisis of the pandemic. And during that period of time, we found that there was 3 out of 4 of them who say they don't have any sense of purpose for living. A majority of them who say they don't have any meaningful relationships. 54%, big rise, who said they're struggling with mental health issues like anxiety, depression, fear, suicidal thoughts. Why? Because they didn't go back to God's truth. That's the antidote to all of those issues. They're not really wrestling with mental health issues. They don't need to be medicated. They need to be biblicized, if you will.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
They need God's truth. That's the solution
Amen.
They're lacking.
There it is. The professor at Arizona Christian University, president of the Cultural Research Center at ACU, Dr. George Barna, has been our guest. George, as always, appreciate it. God bless you, sir.
You too. Thank you, Bill.
Do you have heart failure and often hear, Those stomach issues ruined your birthday.
You're too tired to play catch, Grandpa.
Sweetie, you haven't touched your tools since the carpal tunnel syndrome diagnosis.
If these seemingly unrelated symptoms sound familiar, talk to your cardiologist. Ask about transthyretin amyloid cardiomyopathy, or ATTR-CM, a rare and underdiagnosed disease that gets worse over time. Learn more at connecttoyourheart.com. That's connecttoyourheart.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Here's a message just for the attorneys out there. So you passed a bar, joined a firm, or even built your own. Now are you finding out that you're doing more administration than actual law practice? Lexicon can help. Lexicon is a legal technology provider with over a decade of experience streamlining administrative tasks, like timekeeping, billing, and more, so you can focus on maximizing billable hours and increasing client satisfaction. Call 855-4-LEXICON or visit lexiconservices.com/go to learn more.
USA News Update. President Biden is in Hiroshima, Japan this morning, preparing for the G7 summit that starts tomorrow. This morning, he's meeting with Prime Minister Fumio Kishida. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan on Air Force One reveals some of the topics that will be discussed with the Prime Minister.
Common concerns and issues associated with the policies and practices of the People's Republic of China will come up, and I think you will see coming out of this summit alignment and convergence around the fundamental principles of our approach to the People's Republic of China.
As the possible national debt default looms in America, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy speaks to the media.
Mr. President, stop hiding. Stop traveling somewhere else. America wants an American president focused on American problems, finding American solutions.
Lance Pry, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunnybay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunnybay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunnybay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunnybay heating pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunnybay.
Martinez here. Great to have you with us, sharing a part of your day. For more info on the show, you want to check it out, BillMartinezShow.com. Doray Murdoch is with us now, the Manhattan-based Fox News contributor, contributing editor of National Review Online. Hey, Doray, how are we doing?
Hey, Bill, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. Just a little frustrated. We have nothing to talk about.
Well, yeah, if you ask me how I'm doing, I was going to say overwhelmed. It's just, I barely can breathe with all the things happening right now.
It is coming at us at the speed of light. You know, we were just talking just a moment ago about how... it wasn't that long ago, really, you think about it. You know, you and I grew up watching TV and seeing what happened with Watergate, right? All the investigations and everything that was there and all the drama. And here we have something going on that makes Watergate look like a terrible B-movie by comparison. And we got a president, there was consequences there. You know, a president was forced out of office, and here... With everything that's being controlled, the narrative by the Democratic Party and the apparatchik and all, and the deep state, nobody is even going to the principal's office here.
No, not even go stand in the corner for 5 minutes, Johnny. And we almost have like two Watergates running parallel. We found, thanks to the Durham report, that the dirty tricks, you always heard about the dirty tricks done by the plumbers and elsewhere, the other groups, during the Nixon administration, and now it turns out that the whole Russia hoax thing was cooked up, the whole thing was invented, the whole thing was started by Hillary Clinton and the money to put together this Steele dossier, and when that didn't keep Trump out, then okay, let's just go ahead and destroy his presidency. The Durham report turns out to have vindicated Trump on all that stuff, all of the quote, oh, that's just a conspiracy theory. Well, guess what? It turns out it's true. So we've got that on that side. And then the other side, we've got the whole unraveling Hunter Biden laptop, all those revelations, everything else. And this just happened a couple of days ago. The entire group at the IRS that's been investigating Hunter Biden's taxes, including a whistleblower, has gone to Capitol Hill to talk about how that investigation seems like it's being slow-walked. The entire office was taken off the case, apparently on the orders of the Department of Justice. And if that is really what happened, I can't think of any other phrase for this than obstruction of justice. I think in that case, we're very deeply back in legally into where we were with Watergate, with one government agency shutting down another agency's investigation of wrongdoing that might involve the President of the United States. So I think we're right back in 1973, 1974, all over again. It's just
astonishing. And why are we surprised, DeRoy? I mean, this stuff we've been talking about for years, and all it is it's just proving that we are right. We were called conspirators, and we're just troublemakers, and we're those MAGA people that just want to make America great again. We're just evil. We're pejoratives, and here it is. You know, we find out after millions of dollars, manpower, time, the people's money to pay for us, that Trump was right. And I still maintain, I think I told you this when we talked about it, this was, months ago. I want Hillary Clinton to write a check.
Yeah, absolutely.
She needs to reimburse the people for this garbage that she put out there. I mean, at the very least, anyway.
Absolutely. And, this wasn't just like some passing remark, like, oh, that Trump, boy, he acts like a KGB agent. I mean, they had a very orchestrated, detailed, multi-layered effort involving the Clinton campaign, Democrat operatives, people from the FBI, people from the Department of Justice, people from the intelligence community, Michael Morell, the former acting director of the CIA, those 50 additional high-level intelligence officers or former officers wrote that letter saying that the laptop story, Hunter's laptop from hell, was all Russian disinformation, and they were in on it. All these people from media who lapped it all up and didn't approach this critically. The Durham report said that there was no evidence of any wrongdoing on the part of Donald J. Trump, not even enough to justify reasonable suspicion and the commencement or the introduction of an investigation. There wasn't even that much evidence to start this whole thing off. And again, this wasn't some passing little, 1 week story. This went on for the better part of 3 years. And you had half the country thinking the President of the United States is a KGB agent. The other half of the country saying, you guys are crazy for thinking he's a KGB agent. Some people still think he's a KGB agent. Adam Schiff was still running around, a day or two ago, saying, oh, yeah, there's still evidence he's involved in Russian collusion. I don't know what he's talking about. There's now five different investigations that have exonerated Trump, doing his sixth one or seventh one or eighth one, at which point Adam Schiff will stop lying about this Russian collusion thing. This guy's running for the U.S. Senate in California. He's still lying about this, even though he's been disproven and exposed as a liar on this over and over and over again. It's just astonishing. As you said, it's just very hard to keep up with one sordid detail in this story, of the multiple stories, one after the next.
Exactly. And Adam Schiff, as you say, he's running for Dianne Feinstein's seat. He's in the lead. I mean, I cannot believe that people of California are going to reward somebody who has lied and caused all these problems in our government, and they're going to reward him with a Senate seat. I mean, that's worse than those, Pulitzer Prize winning New York Times reporters that got a Pulitzer Prize for lying about, Russian collusion.
Correct.
I mean,
give
your prize back.
Yeah, you got a couple things going on here. One is, we live in a land of no consequences. These sorts of things go on, and nobody gets fired, nobody gets disbarred, nobody pays a fine, nobody goes to jail. They just cruise along with their careers. You look at the people who were involved in the Russia hoax in the Department of Justice. You had James Comey. You had Peter Strzok.
You had Lisa Page.
Lisa Page. Adam Weissman, I believe. Every single, and of course Hillary Clinton too, every one of those people, no jail, no disbarment, no anything, every single one of those people got two things, a book contract and a TV deal. You've got people, as the Durham report comes out, discussing Peter Strzok and Weissman and these guys, and they're on MSNBC and CNN going, oh, that's not true, that's made up, it's a nothing burger. The same guys who are in the report are on TV getting paid to attack the report and defend the lies for which they got caught lying. So that's happening on one side. And then on the other side, in terms of the journalists for whom there are no consequences, the people who got their Polk Awards and their Pulitzer Prizes, you could say two things. One is either they got these awards for deliberately lying and advancing all these lies and bamboozling the American public, or at the very least, they're not very good journalists because they weren't able to get to the bottom of this and realize, you know what, we're being scammed. This is fake. You know, if they're good enough journalists, they could put it all together and realize it doesn't stick together, and that would have been real journalism. So they're either at best buffoons and at worst partisan hacks. And despite that, they get to keep their awards on their, you know, on their beautiful etagés and bookshelves, et cetera. And the losers here are the American people who are lied to. Multiple polls have shown that if people had known about the Hunter Biden laptop story, they would not have voted for Joe Biden. And if that were the case, he would not be in the Oval Office. Donald J. Trump would be. And think of all the total hell over the last 2 years and about 4 months we would have avoided if we had Donald J. Trump in the Oval Office, not Joe Biden.
Without a doubt. DeRoy, what does this say about the FBI? They're supposed to be the premier law enforcement institution on the planet. And they get duped by a Russian knucklehead and a double agent, you know, out of the UK. And they know this story. I mean, they look like idiots. I mean, they may not get an obvious consequence like you and I would expect for them to receive for what they've done to the American people and, you know, and what they've done to Donald Trump and the injury that they've done. They may not, but maybe the people are going to see, wait a minute. These are premier people with all the information and the technology and everything. And they buy into the story? Okay, so you can believe one of two things. That they were duped by, you know, these knuckleheads that, you know, that their IQ is not very, very, you know, it's not at a genius level, right?
It's just about room temperature, right?
Right, exactly. So they get duped by these guys or they were clearly biased. So that's the choice.
Yeah, well, look, I want to say, first of all, there are many decent FBI agents from coast to coast who are not involved in this sort of thing, and I have tremendous respect for them. The folks for whom I do not have any respect are many of the people at headquarters. Most of the stuff, almost all of the stuff, came out of the either the Washington, D.C. Headquarters of the FBI. I think it's on the 7th floor of the Department of Justice, if I'm wrong. I may be mixing some things up here. A lot of people at the very high level of the Justice Department are involved in this, and people in the D.C. Bureau. This does not involve necessarily people at the Chicago Bureau or the Salt Lake City Bureau, San Diego Bureau, what have you. First of all, secondly, the folks at the highest levels of the FBI under the Obama administration and folks who hung around during the Trump years.
So we've got to go to break. Let's pick it up from there. More from DeRoy after this. Stay with us.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Do you use pesticides in your job? Specifically Roundup. Roundup, made by Monsanto, contains a chemical called glyphosate, which has been linked to cancer. If you've used Roundup and you have cancer, you may be entitled to a cash award. Over $10 billion has been set aside to pay users of Roundup who've been diagnosed with cancer. Time is almost running out to file your claim. So if you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've used Roundup, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And time to file is almost gone, so please call right now.
800-890-7088. 800-890-7088. 800-890-7088. That's 800-890-7088.
How would you like to save money on nearly all your prescription drugs? We've set up a special toll-free number for the RX Outreach Program. They're a nonprofit company whose mission it is to make prescription drugs more affordable to the masses. They don't take insurance, and in many cases, your prescriptions are even cheaper than your co-pays. They carry thousands of different prescription drugs, so whatever you're taking, there's a good chance they have it. No coupons are required, and this is not a discount card. It is pure savings on your prescription drugs. They specialize in generic meds for any chronic health needs you have. Call with your prescription and find out for free how little you can pay for your prescription drugs. Remember, we don't take insurance, so call right now.
800-705-6581. 800-705-6581. 800-705-6581. That's 800-705-6581.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Both my legs were amputated due to an IED. It's when you start to try to get back into, like, an everyday life. I absolutely felt like I lost some of my purpose. There must be something more. When DAV came into my life, they gave me a new mission. I could still be a productive member of society, could still support a family.
The DAV gave him that sense of structure and purpose again to get his life back together.
Visit DAV.org to learn more about our mission.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Welcome back to Roy Murdoch Continues with us, the Fox News contributor, Manhattan-based reporter. DeRoy, the headline here, the Durham report finds FBI failed to uphold its mission in handling of the Trump-Russia probe. I mean, big whoop, right?
Yeah, I know.
Failed to uphold its mission.
As a Manhattan-based commenter, the comment I'd make is that this is the typical, again, sort of the octopus trying to disappear into a cloud of its own ink. You know, there's no proof of any involvement. Look, you know, I think you've got to be willfully blind or just a professional liar to look at the Durham report and say there's anything other than a tremendously damning condemnation of the FBI, the Department of Justice, the intelligence community, and these other people who spent full 3 years, three quarters of Trump's term at least, maybe more, trying to drag him down, not based on anything that actually happened or anything that might have happened or serious suspicion that something happened, but based on something that was completely, utterly, totally fabricated, cooked up out of thin air. I mean, you have fake news. This is fake crime. Fake scandals,
exactly.
And nothing there at all. And these guys invented it. And they knew full well there's nothing there. They knew early on when I believe it was when the Steele dossier was being concocted in the fall of 2016, at some point they asked Steele, okay, well, you know, do you have any sources to back up these claims that Trump is a Russian agent? You know, have any facts or evidence? He goes, no, I really don't. And at that point they said, all right, this guy's a clown. This is ridiculous. We're going to move on to something else. They hung on to that fake Steele dossier for the better part of 3 going on 4 years and tried to document and try to make it into something factual, which it wasn't.
Exactly. They offered Christopher Steele $1 million if he could come up with some proof. That's how desperate they were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll pay $1 million to come up with one fact to hold up your piece of fiction. Said, you know, I can't do it. And at that point, they said, all right, well, nice knowing you. God save the Queen and move on to something else. No, they didn't. They stuck with that and beat Donald J. Trump into the ground along with the, I guess at that point, it would have been, 72 million people who voted for him in the 2016 election and the mandate he had. And let the man govern, and if they didn't like it, they can grind their molars, and they can, you know, volunteer on weekends for the Hillary Clinton campaign or Biden or whatever. Nope, they just stayed in their offices using our taxpayer dollars
exactly.
And our taxpayer-funded equipment and phones and desks, et cetera, to undermine the mandate of the American people. I mean, this is it's amazing that Democrats Republicans are trying to destroy democracy. Can you think of any better way to destroy democracy than to have spend taxpayer dollars in the bureaucracy trying to undermine the president who was duly elected just because you disagree with him, and not began volunteering on weekends? You want to do that? That's great. But using your official powers in the Department of Justice, FBI, and these other agencies to sabotage internally the duly elected president of the United States. I can't think of anything more anti-democratic than that. I mean, that is basically a white collar coup d'etat.
Yeah. And it's endless, DeRoy, because look at what are the American people to make of all this? I mean, here it is, the Durham report, even though it didn't come out with, you know, some consequences that we believe it was just and should have happened, but it didn't. But the people are deciding for themselves. And then on the heels of that, you've got the Hunter Biden laptop. You've got a whistleblower that is supposed to be protected. I mean, when there was a whistleblower on Trump, oh, my goodness, man, they put a shield around him. They made sure he was well protected. Now, in this case, I mean, now you vacate. You vacate the whole deal. And so what are the American people to make of this Democratic Republic that we're living in today?
I think what's really scary about the fact that the IRS team that's been investigating Hunter Biden essentially has been neutralized is the brazenness of it. Now, they could have gone after the whistleblower and said, okay, we're going to move you to this other office, put him in a desk with nothing to do, and say, you know, go ahead and fill out the crossword puzzle. That would have been bad enough. But to get rid of the entire office, and we don't know how many investigators, but it's not just the one whistleblower. The whistleblower and the whistleblower's team have been taken off this case. I don't know if it's two or three people or a dozen people. We don't know that yet, unfortunately. Number one. Number two, when the Saturday evening massacre happened during Watergate, essentially what happened was that as I recall, I believe Richard Nixon wanted the Attorney General, Elliot Richardson, to fire Archibald Cox, who was the special counsel. He wouldn't do it, so Richardson resigned, and Robert Bork, who was eventually named but not put onto the Supreme Court by Ronald Reagan down the road, he was a high-level DOJ official. He fired Cox, and I think some of Cox's investigators, if I remember my history correctly. Now, that was done on a Saturday night and involved, I think it was just three or four people. They didn't wait till Saturday night. These people did this Monday afternoon. Usually you save the bad news for the weekend when everyone's out fishing or skiing.
That's how blatant they are.
Yeah. No. They didn't wait till Saturday night. This is Monday afternoon. This is a Monday afternoon massacre. So it's like, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do it in the middle of the day, in the middle of the work week, and we're going to do it because we know we're going to get away with it. The media will cover it up, and we don't care. That, to me, is the brazenness of this is probably even more frightening than the action.
Yeah, without a doubt. I do want to address another one of your columns, Biden's blunders. You and I talked about this. And after we talked about Trump's triumphs, I said, wow, look, we need to give a contrast here. And thank you for taking that idea and coming up with Biden's blunders A to Z.
Yeah, I've got to thank you for this. This was your idea. I did a piece a few weeks back called Trump's Triumphs from A to Z. And a few weeks ago, you said, hey, why don't you do Biden's blunders from A to Z? And I did. And it didn't take too long to come up with 24 examples, though I got stuck on Q and J for some reason. I eventually was able to come up with those. But, you know, I think the first one under A is maybe the biggest, which is Afghanistan and the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. What a complete mess that was. I mean, 13 U.S. GIs killed by terrorists who were trying to evacuate Kabul. And, of course, the tremendous blow to American prestige that created. I'm just going to do the vowels for now. Energy dominance under Trump has vanished. You've got Biden begging Saudi Arabia and Venezuela to boost petroleum production while we're shutting it down in this country. I for inflation, it was 1.4% when Biden showed up. It went up to 9.1%. It's now about 4.9%, but that's even double what the Fed's target is, which is 2%. Let's see. One-on-one interviews. He barely grants any. He's only done 58 in his first 2 years. Trump did 205 in the same period. Obama, 275. G.W. Bush, 89. So, again, this whole, you know, essentially keeping as low a profile and not letting the media have access to you is something that Biden's doing. Ukraine has received $76.8 billion in aid from Biden. We don't know if this thing's going to end. There seems to be no path out of there. No path either to a victory by Ukraine or even an armistice with the Russians. And I'll just do Z for Zig.
Let's do Borden.
What, okay. Pardon me?
I say do border, B for border.
Oh, B for border. Let's do border. Yeah, B for border. Well, you know, we the borders, I put in quotation marks. You know, we don't have a border anymore with U.S. and Mexico. I put in quotes. 6.3 million illegal aliens from at least 172 nations have invaded America under Biden. This was before the Title 42 policy went away. Now there are people coming across the border. You know, until recently, we would say, all right, well, here's your court date, you know, be at some court, courthouse somewhere in, you know, 3 or 4 years. And, you know, they would pretend to show up eventually. We pretend to expect them to do so. People are coming across the border now and not even getting court dates. They're all right, welcome to America. Have a good time. Enjoy yourselves. We don't know who they are. We're not tracking them. They don't have a little piece of paper saying, okay, show up in a few years. Some of them are getting papers saying show up in 2026 or 2027. It's unbelievable. And, you know, we've caught at this point about 180 people on the terrorist watch list. They caught a guy from Afghanistan on the border who was on the terrorist watch list sometime last week. I God forbid any of these people decide, hey, let's get some dynamite or some plastic explosives and see what we can do to stir up some trouble. It's really terrifying stuff. And
DeRoy, these people come in, they don't have an allegiance to the United States. Their allegiance is to the cartels. And the cartels are no longer just south of the border. They have got a chain, a system that is set up within the United States. I think all but eight states in our country have a cartel operation, according to a map that Fox News had published about a month ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all over the place, and they're bringing in illegal aliens. Some of these people are brought in and enslaved. We have slavery in this country again. You know, we talk about slavery reparations from 1840, 1865, whatever. We have people who are slaves now. We're brought into this country. They, if they have any papers, they take them. They say, all right, your job is to stay here and you know, have sex with people, and you're not free to leave. And we're not going to pay you, by the way. That's called slavery. Okay,
that's right.
And so, why doesn't Joe Biden do something about the slavery in 2023? As opposed to fighting the slavery in 1858 or 1862 that horribly and tragically went on in this country before the Emancipation Proclamation and the end of the Civil War. No interest in that, but let's beat ourselves silly over the slavery that took place in the Deep South back in the 19th century and before.
Well, and this has compromised our moral standing internationally that you referred to earlier. These countries who before were our allies that respected the moral backbone of this country, I mean, they look at us with disgust anymore, DeRoy, if the truth be known.
I think disgust is right, because you don't see any other country that has said, okay, we're just going to get rid of our border and anybody wants to can run in. I'm for a generous immigration program, but people have got to come here legally. You come in with a passport, with a visa stamp saying you can come into the United States either to work or be a tourist or a study or whatever it might be. Not just, hey, you know, free for all, everybody run in. And once you get here, okay, now you're here, go ahead and sleep in an alleyway in El Paso.
Exactly.
So we've got here in New York City, this is abominable. We have people, we have homeless veterans who are being kicked out of hotels where we've been able to house them, and they're being told, all right, you're a homeless vet, you join the armed services, you fought for our country, but go back and sleep on the sidewalk. We have some illegal aliens we've got to put in here.
Well, without a doubt. Well, let me tell you, at least to our audience, you want to download. This column is going to be linked on our website at BillMartinezShow.com. It's also featured at the Daily Signal, Biden's blunders from A to Z. So next time you hear the president talk and hear Democrats talk, just refer to A to Z blunders, and this will remind you, as if you need reminding, of the nightmare that we're living. He's the Manhattan Fox-based news contributor and contributing editor of National Review Online. DeRoy Murdoch has been with us. Thank you, DeRoy. Take care.
You bet, Bill. Very good. Talk to you next week.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day.